How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 4. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, AnnouncerBot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy.
And first off, I want to apologize for the delay. This is going up a little later than we normally try. We try to get it up sometime on Sunday, get it posted, but I was under the weather this weekend, still fighting it a little bit. But we didn't want to disappoint you loyal fans out there.
Yes, all none of them.
All none of you. So, also, want to remind you that you can check us out on iTunes. Just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can email us at howigotmywifetoreadcomics, that's one word, at gmail.com. And you can also check out my other podcast, Vast Wasteland, also on iTunes.
I still haven't gotten any email.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Oh, well. It's all going out into the ether.
Exactly.
There you go. First topic is the new team on the all-new Atom. I'm not impressed.
I haven't read the new one that just came out this past week, but yeah, I wasn't that impressed either.
And it was really a good title. You had Gail Simone doing the storyline. You had Mike Norton doing the art. Both really good at their jobs. And of course, Gail has moved on to Wonder Woman. And I think that's a big enough job that they said she really can't do both. Or I don't know if it's her call. I don't know. Yeah, I completely understand why she moved on. But at the same time, we got this new team. Rick Remender is doing the writing. The art is by Pat Oliff and John Stanisi, I'm guessing. Not so much.
Well, I suppose we should give it a little more time, but I mean, it just was really good before.
Oh, it's just a wonderful comic and funny and little quirky things going on. And a character who had, and of course, this is a new version of the character. It's not Ray Palmer now, but it's Ryan Choi. But it was still, it was such a different take on the character and the idea that Ivy Town is this seething cauldron of weirdness.
Right.
And mostly because Ray Palmer was doing these weird experiments and he's kind of screwed around with physics so much in that town that weird things go on.
Well,
great
I really
idea.
Liked Head.
Yeah.
Which is the sort of giant head that sort of floats around.
Mm-hmm.
And then the colony or the I don't know, the civilization that lives on the dog is also very good.
Yeah, this was a great idea. And then so now we've moved on to this new group and it's become very dark and it's all this angst and terribleness and the artwork isn't nearly as good as Mike Norton's was. I'm sorry, it just isn't. This is a title that, as far as I know, has never done that well in terms of sales. And my guess is the only thing that kept it there was Gail and Mike Norton doing the title, and the fans were really pushing to keep it out there. I don't think it's going to last now that we have a new team, and that's a shame.
So how do they decide who's going to be the artist and the writer, and how much does DC have to say about the direction that a comic takes? Would DC necessarily say to the writer, hey, we want this to go a little darker, or would the writer have complete control over that?
Well, theoretically, the editor of that title, and I don't really know offhand who the editor of Atom is, but the editor and the author and sometimes the artist will get together and plot things out. So DC, in the guise of the editor, has a pretty good say as to how things are going. My guess is they didn't specifically say, like DC didn't say, go darker with this.
Okay.
But I think the new writer decided that's where he wanted to go. There's certain titles that have never done well, but DC has really backed them regardless. Some editor or Dan DiDio is out there, wants that title to continue no matter what the sales are. And mm-hmm. then there's certain titles that they're pretty much contractually obligated to put out, even if even if nobody bought it.
Right, and isn't... I know Wonder Woman is fairly popular, but isn't she one they're contractually obligated to put out?
Well, that's what I've heard, and I don't know if this is an absolute fact, but supposedly there was a clause put in by William Moulton, or William Marston was the actual name, the creator of the character, who never actually sold permanently the rights to the character Wonder Woman DC. He worked out some sort of deal, and this is really amazing, in the 40s that he was able to do this, that he licensed the character in perpetuity to DC as long as they continued making the title. And there was a point in the 1980s, right before they revamped the character, they almost lost the character. A few months went by, and it's like, oh, we're going to revamp, so we pulled the title, and somebody went, oh no, we're about to lose the character if we don't put something out. So they put out this miniseries that was really strange, and it was slapped together very quickly, because otherwise the Marston family could have gone ahead and shopped the character around to somewhere else very easily at that point. In any case, it's interesting to see some titles do very well, and they're out, and they stay up there, and that's why they stay there. There are certain ones that don't do well, but DC pushes for them anyways. There's ones that do well and get pulled anyway. I mean, right. It really much comes down to which titles do you get a champion for at DC. Otherwise, you're in trouble. The next topic, what we call the gateway titles, how you get your wife to read comics, it's Fables and now Jack of Fables over in Vertigo.
Right. Now, I'm not sure if you could start reading Fables in the middle, though. I'm almost thinking you have to start... like maybe with the trade at this point,
because
you've got the whole Fable War thing going on.
Right.
But yeah, I really like the title and the ongoing stories, and I have to say there are a lot of strong female characters in there.
Mm-hmm. Right, and for those who haven't read it, and if you haven't, shame on you, go out and read it, go get the trades. This is a concept where all of the fables of myth actually exist, and they exist in this other land. It's not really well explained, but it's not in the what they call the Mundi world.
Right. It's not necessarily one other world where all the fables exist,
right,
either. There's
right.
like the Arabian Nights fable land and the traditional fable land and the Americana fable land.
Right. And the idea is, what's the name of the main, I forget the name character, the main bad guy who forced them out of their lands? Not the Overseer, but it's something like that.
It'll come to me.
Well, in any case, who has forced them out of their native lands, and they're basically hiding out, for the most part.
The Adversary.
The Adversary, there's the word. And they've now been pushed out, and there's an enclave of these fables, most of whom live in New York City. And then there's a place upstate where the fables who really couldn't fit into society, like talking animals and
the
talking
three
eggs,
little pigs.
Yeah, really can't be in regular society, live in this farm upstate in upstate New York.
Right.
And so it's the travails of these people trying to keep everything a secret, and meanwhile trying to run their little mini society there. And right now, in fact, it's been going on for quite a while now in the title, they're ready to go back and fight the adversary and theoretically get back their lands.
They've had sort of a subplot going, another area of the war, and that just ended. It was very good, I thought.
Oh, and the title is wonderful, and the writing is great, and the artwork is fantastic.
And then Jack of Fables was a spinoff of that, and it's more like just shorter story arcs that don't really tie into the big one, because Jack is Jack, and
he's the Jack of all the various fables where you hear
a
Jack.
Jack and the Beanstalk, and, you know,
and
Jack
so,
be nimble.
Right, and so what's happened is he went off and decided he was going to become this Hollywood big shot, so he sells and gets these Jack movies out, which are these huge blockbuster events and make an enormous amount of money. And then the other fables show up and go, what are you doing? You were supposed to be a secret. What are you doing this for? He's now going through various travails of his own.
Yeah, so he has little ongoing adventures where he runs into various people. And I think even though there's a, you know, an ongoing backstory, that it would be fairly easy to jump in at the beginning of a story arc there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And maybe that's where you start, is you start maybe with Jack and read a few of those and then go and get the trades of Fables. I mean, that's the way to go, I think, right now. Third topic, something that's just been going on, just really started at DC, a new title called Tangent Superman's Reign. And this is really fascinating because, of course, what's going on in DC is that there's the 52 Earths and all this stuff going on. And they've decided that what is called the Tangent Universe would be its own separate Earth, and they're calling it Earth 9. Now, Tangent is this experiment that DC did, I'm guessing, 10 years ago, where they decided to bring a bunch of artists and writers together, and they said, here's the premise. You have to use the names of characters in the DCU. The names are all you have to use, and you can write a whole new continuity, so you can have a Superman or a Batman. It doesn't matter, but you have to use the same character names, but you can write a completely different continuity around it. And so they put out, I think it was only like a month or maybe 6 weeks, they put out a bunch of these one-shots. They were all from this Tangent Comics. One thing that's interesting is that the cover artwork and the logos and everything are very, very different than what you'd see on standard DC titles. And in fact, I think are cleaner and better designed than what you see at DC today in terms of the cover artwork. And this is 10 years ago they put all this stuff together. So it was all a one-shot. It was one of many experiments DC did back in the 90s to try to get different audiences involved. And it was kind of a throwaway thing. Well, it proved to be very popular. And so various people have come back and said, well, I want to take something from that. I want to take something from that. And so DC decided to make it official. And now Tangent is part of the DC, the multiverse anymore. Whatever it is.
The 52-verse.
And so now we're seeing this title where Earth 1, our regular DC Earth, or New Earth, I think it's now referred to as, the Flash and the Green Lantern of that Earth have been transported to Earth Tangent, or Earth 9. And in this Earth, Superman, their Superman in this other Earth, a black man, decided that with his immense powers, he just took over. And he just said, I know what's best for the Earth, and he becomes dictator of Earth. And so now we're going to see what happens with these characters. I think it's fascinating that how things, you know, some things really don't work. You know, some things they try. An example of this is, I think it was Milestone. It was an actual line that they did mid-90s or so. I think it's Milestone. Probably wrong. Milestone, and the idea was it was all minority characters.
Was that Static?
Yeah, Static came from that. And Static ended up getting his own cartoon series on Saturday morning.
Oh.
Yeah, at one point. But the rest of it didn't work very well, kind of flopped. Another thing that they did at one point, DC had bought the rights to the superhero Archie characters. And what I mean by that is, Archie Comics, they had a really good racket going on. Archie, of course, Archie and Veronica and Jughead and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, every once in a while, as the years went by, because, of course, Archie Comics had been out since the 40s, literally since the beginning of the industry, every once in a while, when superheroes would become big, for example, when the Batman live-action series came out in the 60s, everything was superheroes. And then it died out again. What Archie would do is they had this whole line of superheroes that they'd bring out when things were popular, and as soon as it died out, they'd just mothball them again until the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And so DC bought them again, I think in the late 80s, early 90s, they put out this line called Impact Comics. And the idea was supposed to be more towards slightly younger readers. It wasn't as complicated and as continuity, completely separate from the DCU. And so you had all these characters. And they actually put out, it was probably 18 months of comics. And then didn't work, died, it's gone. And as far as I know, the Impact Universe is not one of the 52 Earths. But meanwhile, this little experiment called Tangent became huge.
You just never know.
You never know.
All right, I have something.
Yes.
because I just had in my Google Reader show up that they said that the Artist's Alley at Comic-Con for San Diego has been set up. So tell me about Artist's Alley.
Well, at most comic book shows, and we'll really see, because that's the thing, we're actually going to go to San Diego Comic-Con in July. Very excited about that. Never been there before. We've been to other smaller shows. We've been to the Chicago show once. I've been to several shows. Generally, how an Artist Alley works is you, as an artist, pay to sit behind a table, hawk your wares to people coming up. People will come up to you and say, hey, can you draw such and such, or can you do this? And they'll do some artwork right there and then, or you get in a list, and later in the day you come back and it's done. Or you might have some previously created artwork you can, or prints you can buy. And the idea is, generally, it's one of two categories. It's artists who can't get work, and they're just trying to get enough people interested in their artwork that maybe they'll get enough word of mouth that one of the comic book companies will sign them up. In the other case, it's the big players, the major artists. They will only come up and work for a certain amount of time, and you'll have to wait in line in some cases for hours to get some major player to do his artwork. And generally, the artwork will be very simple because they're cranking them out as fast as they can. Generally, the Artist Alley is going to be the first category. It's the artists who don't have a regular gig somewhere, or haven't broken into the industry really at all, and they're paying money to sit behind a table.
Okay. I may ask you other Comic-Con questions as we go along.
Okay, that's fine. All right, so before we get out of here, we want to play...
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly?
Okay.
So, as we have each week, Mark will ask me questions to try to guess who's on the cover of the Entertainment Weekly. This is for this past week's issue. I think it's April 11th. I don't have it in front of me, but I do know who is on the cover.
Okay.
And this week, we're going to give Mark 2 minutes because he hasn't been able to do it in 90 seconds.
I'm having no luck at this.
So we'll see how he does now. And are you ready, Mark?
I am ready.
On your mark, get set, go.
Is it TV related?
Yes.
Okay, is it one person?
Yes.
Is it a man?
No.
It's a woman?
Yes.
It's a woman over 30?
Yes.
It's, let's see, is she over 40?
Yes.
Over 50?
Right on the cusp.
Right on the cusp, okay. Is she the star of a TV show?
Yes.
Is this show on one of the three major networks?
It could be.
It could be. Is it, so is it...
In the Columbus market it is.
In the Columbus market it is. Wow, so it's a syndicated show?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Syndicated show. Is she a talk show host?
She is.
Is she the talk show host?
Well, you would have to tell me who the...
Is it Oprah?
It is not Oprah.
Okay. Is it Ellen?
It is Ellen. And Mark did that in 1 minute.
Amazing.
I'm impressed.
Once I figured out it was a talk show woman, it's like, okay, well, that kind of narrowed it down.
Right. Because Judge Judy probably wouldn't be on the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
You wouldn't think, no. Okay, well, thanks again for listening. Again, want to remind you can check us out on iTunes, search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can email us at howigotmywifetoreadcomics, that's one word, at gmail.com. And you can also check out my other podcast, Vast Wasteland, also on iTunes. Thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
Good night.